CBS News, I'm Frank Sedapane. The three-day manhunt for two terrorists who attacked a French newspaper office, killing a dozen people, seems to be coming to a head. Live to Paris and CBS News correspondent Vicky Barker, what's the latest?
Well, after a dramatic car chase in which shots were fired, French police have now surrounded a small office building near Charles de Gaulle Airport, where the two gunmen are believed to be holding at least one hostage. Hostage negotiators are on the scene, but there are also reports that the suspects have said they are prepared to die as martyrs. Area hospitals have been put on high alert to receive any possible casualties. Nearby residents are in lockdown. We seem to be inching closer to some kind of endgame, Frank.
In Washington, CBS's Bob Orr tells us the suspects, Saeed Kouachi and his brother Sharif, were no strangers to authorities on both sides of the Atlantic.
U.S. sources say French investigators have evidence Saeed traveled to Yemen in 2011 and linked up with the terrorist affiliate Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. CBS News has been told Saeed spent several months in Yemen training with the group known as AQAP.
The December employment report, due for release today, is expected to show solid job growth with a small dip in the unemployment rate. President Obama believes reducing the financial burden of college would strengthen the American workforce.
Put simply, what I'd like to do is to see the first 2 years of community college free for everybody who's willing to work for it.
The president will have more to say about that in a speech today in Knoxville, Tennessee. The Census Bureau may be ready to put the 20th century to bed. Live to CBS News correspondent Peter King.
Frank, never mind that it'll have been two decades since the end of the 20th century. The Census Bureau says it's experimenting with online forms and smartphones instead of paperwork to get instant tabulations for 2020. The return rate on traditional questionnaires is 74%. Officials say most of their money is spent trying to get the other 26% of the population to respond. They say digital could save millions. Several versions are being tested in Georgia, South Carolina, and Arizona.
The Connecticut Supreme Court has ruled that state officials had every right to force a 17-year-old girl, identified in legal papers as Cassandra C., to have chemotherapy against her wishes. CBS News correspondent Don Daler.
Cassandra turns 18 and thus becomes an adult who can legally reject medical treatment in 9 months. Her full course of chemo will be finished 3 months before then.
And the state argued that Cassandra would die without treatment for Hodgkin's lymphoma. The Grammy Award-winning gospel music performer and songwriter Andre Crouch has died in Los Angeles less than a week after suffering a heart attack. Andre Crouch was 72. His pioneering work in the 1960s and 70s paved the way for the spread of contemporary Christian music. S&P futures are down 4 points ahead of the opening. The Dow Industrials gained 600 points and some more in the previous two sessions. This is CBS News.
If you have Medicare Part D, Walgreens can put you at the corner of switching your prescriptions and saving some money. That's because Walgreens makes it easy to switch and save with copays as low as $0 on select Medicare Part D plans. Just bring us your prescriptions and we'll do the rest. Switch to save even more today. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Applies to Tier 1 generics for select plans.
Hello?
Hi, Eric. This is Terry from Farmers Insurance. Any changes regarding your home or car?
Well, I started carpooling with some friends from work.
No problem. With the extra people in the car, we want you to stay safe, so let me update your liability limits.
Perfect.
Until you close the gaps in your insurance, you could be living dangerously. To find out more, visit Farmers.com. We'll help you know the gaps and lose all the...
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Film star Rod Taylor has died. He would have turned 85 on Sunday.
Rod Taylor was born in Australia. He moved to Hollywood in the mid-50s, where he became a popular character actor in television. He made his film debut in 1960 in the H.G. Wells classic, The Time Machine.
As I went along, I gained experience in handling the machine. I found that I could stop for a day, an hour, or even for a second.
3 years later, Taylor teamed up with director Alfred Hitchcock in The Birds.
That's the damnest thing I ever saw. I don't know. It seemed to swoop down at you deliberately. Oh, you're bleeding, too. Let's take care of that.
Film critic Leonard Maltin.
He represented the very model of a dashing, virile, leading man.
Taylor died of a heart attack. He was 84. Jim Genovese, CBS News.
Democratic Governor Peter Shumlin of Vermont's been sworn in for a third two-year term after winning re-election on a vote of state legislators. The legislature had to decide the election because Shumlin failed to win the popular vote in November. Frank Sedapani, CBS News.
Imagine a store that lets you get the things you wanted, how you wanted. Don't want to use your credit? Don't. Don't have credit? Don't worry. Want to set up a payment plan around your paydates so you're never short on cash? It's up to you. Imagine payments that fit your budget, your schedule, your life. That's Rent-A-Center. Imagine that. No credit needed. Flexible payment plan scheduled around your needs. Imagine new possibilities at Rent-A-Center. Rental purchase transactions. See store for details.
This is Charles Osgood. What's the most important thing to consider when looking for the right insurance? Customer satisfaction. Auto Owners Insurance uses only local, independent agents to handle all your questions and needs. We serve policyholders, not shareholders. Our award-winning service is why Auto Owners is known as the no-problem people. Auto Owners, a policy of satisfaction. For the independent agent in your neighborhood, go to AutoOwners.com. That's AutoOwners.com.
This morning on WCHL, after decades of public service, longtime Chapel Hill Fire Chief Dan Jones will be stepping down in the spring.
I let the town manager know yesterday that I intend to retire in May.
Last night, the Chapel Hill Town Council discussed the fiscal impact of the proposed Obie Creek development on our town. And we are right in the heart of flu season now, and it's proving to be a particularly deadly version of the virus this year. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. And our weather situation improves somewhat today. We'll actually rise above freezing, believe it or not. And in WCHL Championship Sports, the Carolina men's basketball team is looking for a victory over Louisville on Saturday afternoon inside the Smith Center. And it certainly is not going to be easy. And
strictly by the numbers, Carolina should beat Louisville.
That's this morning in our Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
6:07, we have 21 degrees in Chapel Hill. Not as cold this morning as it was yesterday, certainly. And our temperatures today will rise above freezing into the upper 30s, believe it or not. Partly sunny skies today, obviously not as cool. We'll still get some strong winds later on in the day. Tonight, mostly clear, cold temperatures with lows down to 16. Then on Saturday, sunny with a high in the middle 30s. And Sunday, partly sunny with a high up in the 40s, which sounds like a veritable heat wave on the way. After decades of public service, longtime Chapel Hill Fire Chief Dan Jones will be stepping down this spring. WCHL's Aaron Keck has this report.
After 41 years in the fire service, 25 of it here in the town of Chapel Hill, my wife and I have decided that it's time to end my career in the uniform fire service, and I let the town manager know yesterday that I intend to retire in May.
He spent his entire life in public service, leading the Chapel Hill Fire Department through a long period of transition. When he took office in 1990, he says the Chapel Hill Fire Department didn't provide much more than fire service, but now it also provides emergency medical service, rescue service, and more.
We've come a long way, and the one thing that I have the most mixed emotions about is the people that I work here with are really, really good folks and very dedicated and very committed to the fire service and to the citizens they protect. And I'll miss the daily interaction with those folks.
Along the way, Chief Jones and his team faced a number of serious challenges, perhaps most notably a tragic fire in 1996 at the Phi Gamma Delta fraternity house, which killed five students but also led to significant policy changes for new developments that have made our community and others much safer.
We lost five students, Mark Strickland, Ben Woodruff, Josh Weaver, Ann Smith, and Joanna Howe. And that was a horrible tragedy, but a lot of good came out of that, sprinkler systems and student housing, and not only here in Chapel Hill, but in other parts of the country. And I felt good about the fact that we were able to turn that tragedy into a lot of positive things.
Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt says Chief Jones will leave a tremendous legacy, not just with the fire department, but with Chapel Hill town government in general.
He's the longest-serving fire chief the city's ever had. He has seen us through some really tough, challenging times. His fingerprints are over a lot of things, not just the fire department, but just the management style of the rest of our organization. Not only his policies, but, you know, he got us through a recession whenever other cities were like losing firefighters or having to lay off firefighters. He was able to manage one of our town's largest departments through that difficult time, doing things that no other fire chief, not just in this town, but in this whole state, has ever done. And he's going to be hard to replace.
Clanchmidt says Chief Jones will be missed, but he also says the chief's influence will be felt for years to come.
He really has trained up a generation of extraordinary servants that have come through our fire department and who will owe their careers to him. And he sure has taught me a lot as well.
Chief Jones says he won't be leaving town anytime soon. His family is all here and Chapel Hill is home. But he says there's one local community staple that he will miss.
You know, one of the things I'm going to miss the most when I retire is not listening to Ron Stutz every morning driving into work.
Chief Dan Jones is expected to step down on May 1st. Aaron Keck, 97.9 FM, WCHM.
Oh, my goodness. And I was about to say something really nice about you, Chief. That is amazing. Congratulations, Chief Dan Jones. We'll have more news coming up in a moment. WCHL News Time is 6:11.
Hey, Leonardo da Vinci, the Mona Lisa, she's a great success. But how did you get her to smile like that?
Oh, Michelangelo, it's obvious. I sent her to the Breadmans.
Breadmans on Rosemary Street?
Sure. They've got the great food with breakfast all day and low prices. You can't go in there and not come out to smiling.
Yes, I better head to Breadmans today.
Today?
Yeah, they got me painting the ceiling for the next 4 years.
Oh, bummer.
Breadmans Restaurant, a Chapel Hill tradition.
What, you think we only like a pizza?
The job market can be tough. It's time to show the business world that you're tougher. Durham Tech can help you build your resume with skills designed for the global economy. You'll learn what works in areas from healthcare, computer science, and foreign languages to biotechnology, construction, and real estate. Classes are taught throughout Durham and Orange counties, many in the evenings and on weekends. Visit durhamtech.edu to learn more and get ready to do great things.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
WCHL News Time is 6:12. Last night, the Chapel Hill Town Council discussed the fiscal impact of the proposed OB Creek development on the town. Chapel Hill Business Management Director Kenneth Penoyer estimated that mixed-use development would net between $600,000 and $1 million every year. This is the revenue which comes from taxes and fees minus the cost of extending town services like fire, police, and transit services. Town council members are looking into the impact of two different development scenarios to help the town strategically negotiate with the developer, East-West Partners. This wide range in the bottom line, $600,000 versus $1 million, comes from comparing a bigger development plan, the original scenario, with a smaller development plan, the minimum scenario. The development would also generate revenue for the county and the local school district. The town estimates a smaller development scenario would add 50 students to area schools, and the bigger development would add 130 students. Ben Perry, finance director of East-West Partners, said this minimum development scenario may not be financially feasible for his company. The public is invited to comment on the Obi Creek negotiation process at the town council's 7 o'clock meeting on January 12th in the town hall council chambers. That, of course, is Monday night. The council will hold special meetings with Victor Dover from the planning firm Dover Cole and Partners on January 22nd at 7 p.m. and also on January 23rd at 4 in the afternoon. Both meetings will be in the council chambers. We're right in the heart of flu season, and it's proving to be a particularly deadly version of the virus this year. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more.
State health officials released the weekly numbers yesterday and reported 30 new flu deaths for the week ending January 3rd. That brings the total of flu-related deaths for the season to 54. Department of Health and Human Service officials say they began to see an increase in activity in mid-December, and with a season that typically lasts around 3 months, are expecting severe flu activity for several more weeks. Last year, there were 107 flu-related deaths reported across the Tar Heel State. WCHL's Blake Hodge will have an in-depth look at this year's flu season on WCHL's Weekend News with Jeff Hamlin. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
Hillsborough Planning Director Margaret Houth led an open house on Thursday night the town barn to discuss the Vision 2030 project. The early stages of the project involved collecting data that is Hillsborough-centric.
The reason why the data collection is early on is if you don't know what the current situation is, you don't know whether you've made any progress. Until you know exactly where you are, you don't know where you want to go.
There are several lofty goals as part of the development project. Townwide wireless internet by 2025, increasing residential density without losing small-town charm, all while maintaining affordable housing options. But one item grabbed community members' attention last night, the construction of a train station to reestablish Amtrak service and be open to commuter rail. Houth says that they are in line to receive funding from the State Department of Transportation for construction in 2019.
What we are building is the station. We are building the platform in the building and access to the site so that the Amtrak trains can stop. Any other trains that are running on that line that choose to stop, we will welcome. But the funding that comes for the station structure is not tied to funding for a commuter rail system.
The town of Hillsborough already owns 20 acres off South Churton Street where the train station would be built. This is the second time Hillsborough officials have developed a long-term planning document, and they've seen major solutions come during the process.
In 1990, when we wrote the first Vision 2010 plan, we did not have a reservoir. The West Fork of the Eno did not exist. We were really looking at tight, tight water circumstances. We were at a point where we really couldn't tie on new water customers for any kind of large-scale development.
Houth says that they will have annual reports to update the board and residents with progress being made in the Vision 2030 project.
The reason why the data collection is early on is we do intend to annually, as part of the budget process, kind of give a report back to the board on how we're doing in the implementation of this, since this document is tied more closely to the budget, and the budget is tied very closely now to the town's strategy map and balanced scorecard.
The public hearing for the development plan is scheduled for next Thursday, that is January 15th. You can get more details in that hearing and look at the Vision 2030 draft on our website, chapelborough.com. In other news this morning on WCHL, we've reached the end of 2014. As a new year begins, we're taking the time to look back on the year that was. We'll have the number one news story and the number one newsmaker coming up at the bottom of the hour here on WCHL. In WCHL's Year in Review, North Carolina high school students will have more leeway to earn better grades starting with the next academic year, which begins in August. The State Board of Education approved a plan yesterday to convert this current 7-point grading scale into a 10-point scale. That means the student earning between 90% and 100% of the marks in the course would earn an A grade. The current scale means a B grade for students earning 90, 91, or 92. The school board last summer approved the change for incoming high school freshmen this fall. In other words, 90 to 100 would be an A, 80 to 89 would be a B, 70 to 79 would be a C. Since then, local school district officials and parents complained that unless the rules apply to everyone attending high school, students in the same class doing the same quality of work could get different grades. And four men face charges of removing 970 Venus flytraps from the wild in the first case since the poaching the plant was made a felony. The North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission said the four men were arrested on January 3rd. A wildlife officer had been investigating reports of suspicious activity at Holly Shelter Game Land in Pender County for several weeks. Venus flytraps are rare, carnivorous plants that feed on insects and grow in swamps and bogs. They're found on Wildlife Commission game lands in Pender, Brunswick, Onslow, and New Hanover counties. It's estimated only 35,000 plants remain in the wild. Prior to December 1st, it was a misdemeanor to remove the plant from the wild. If convicted, the men face up to 29 months in prison and fines. WCHL News Time, 6:19. And coming up, look at your morning traffic and weather together. In fact, let's get started right now. Your Chapel Hill cover of traffic brought to you this morning by the Chamber of Commerce. And not a lot to report this morning. Not a lot of activity out there so far. The situation will certainly change a little bit later on, although traditionally, for some reason, Friday morning traffic is a little lighter than usual, but we don't have any real problems on the road. No precipitation on the road this morning. No ice as a result of the cool temperatures. So no problems so far. Nikki Morse is in the newsroom. She'll be reporting on traffic throughout the morning here. You'll hear from her in less than half an hour from now. The traffic brought to you by Chamber of Commerce. Celebrate the success of our business community at the Chamber's annual meeting presented by the Europa Center. This Thursday, January 29th, at 11 a.m. at the Sheraton Chapel Hill Hotel. Tickets are on sale now, $55 for members, $70 for non-members. Register online at carolinachamber.org/annual meeting. Now, turning to your Chapel Hill Carborough weather, it looks a lot better today than it did yesterday, although still it's really cold, 21 degrees right now, partly sunny, not as cool, obviously, high today in the upper 30s. It's going to be windy later on in the day. Tonight we're looking at mostly clear skies, cold temperatures, lows around 16. On Saturday, sunny with a high in the middle 30s. Saturday night, mostly clear and cold with a low around 18 degrees. On Sunday, partly sunny with a high in the low 40s. Well, that's a quick look at your Chapel Hill Carborough forecast. And again, it's a lot better today than it was yesterday. Still not optimal. It's awfully chilly out there this morning. So don't get all excited and go out with a short sleeve shirt on or anything like that. So it's still very, very frigid.
Wake up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
Time for championship sports on WCHL. Number 18, North Carolina, 11-4 on the season. 1-1 in the ACC. Looks to rebound from the tough loss to number 13, Notre Dame, with a quality win over number 5, Louisville. Tomorrow, Louisville is 14-1, 2-0 in the ACC. That happened Saturday afternoon. WCHL's Matt Oakes previews the contest.
UNC head coach Roy Williams doesn't get carried away with breaking down the stat sheet. He says the only thing that really matters is who's got more points at the end of 40 minutes. And last time out, that wasn't Carolina.
Well, we were into it a little bit more, but holding somebody to 43% is not really that good. Let's be honest kind of thing now. The only stat, you can look down there, guys, all you want, and you can dissect it, but the only stat that's important is 71-70. The rest of it's just junk, and you got to write it because that's your job. But 71-70 is the only thing that's important.
The Tar Heels will certainly be eager to wipe the sour taste of defeat out of their mouth and avoid a rare two-game slide at home. But the task won't be easy against the Cardinals. Carolina, though, may have found another game-changing weapon in its last outing, despite the losing outcome. Junior forward Bryce Johnson says assistant coach Hubert Davis has been calling for a difference maker to make the effort plays that will ignite the rest of the lineup.
That's just the one thing Coach Davis told him in the timeout. He said, we need one guy to just be able to step up and show everybody what it means to go out there and get a rebound for us, or be that guy to get a rebound on the other end. So.
Coach Davis's challenge may have been met by freshman Theo Pinson. Pinson was the spark plug off the bench, playing 12 second-half minutes and finishing with 7 points and a season-high 8 rebounds. All 7 of his points and all 8 rebounds came in the final 20 minutes of action as he rallied Carolina from an 11-point deficit to the doorstep of victory. Against Notre Dame, one of the most prolific shooting teams in the nation, Carolina struggled to knock down enough jumpers to stay in close for a majority of the game. But junior forward J.P. Tokido says it's UNC's defense that needs to step up its level when the shots aren't falling.
And it was simple because we knocked down shots. It wasn't just layups. You know, guys hitting jump shots and all that. So sometimes the ball just doesn't fall. 10 assists on how many ever buckets it was. It's going to happen. You just got to, when that happens, you got to adjust and get it on defensively.
Saturday's showdown pits a pair of Hall of Fame coaches against each other. Just like Coach Williams, Louisville coach Rick Pitino knows how to guide a team to a national championship, and Coach Pitino will like his squad's chances at making another deep postseason push again this year. And why shouldn't he? The only loss suffered by the tough-nosed Cardinals came to undefeated and top-ranked Kentucky. But Coach Pitino insists his team, who can be a bit offensively challenged at times, remains a work in progress.
We've got a lot of bumps in the road, I can tell you that right now. And you look at our record right now, and it's a good record, but we're going to have a lot of bumps, and that doesn't concern me because bumps are part of every season. We need to, come March, be a very good basketball team, and I think the good thing about this basketball team, it has a very high ceiling. It has really a long ways to go.
Without a doubt, the most dominant player on the Cardinal roster is Montrezl Harrell, who remains a strong candidate for National Player of the Year. One of the most intriguing aspects of the game from a Tar Heel perspective will be how much playing time Pinson receives. Coach Williams says it's up to the freshman. If a guy's playing well, he'll stay on the floor.
It's pretty easy to tell because I kept him in the game. You know, it's a pretty easy sign right there. I thought the three was, you know, he hadn't made many of them, but it was wide open, and JP made a nice pass to him. He knocked it in, but the the offensive rebound was really a big force too. And so I've always said the easiest way to stay in the game is play well. If you play well, you get more chances.
All right, that's Roy, and thanks to Matt Oaks for that report. Carolina versus Louisville. Boy, this is going to be a tough game. 625 WCHL.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by AJC. This is Charles Osgood. The people who design and build robots certainly have made a lot of progress in recent years. Their creations are becoming more and more like us. But robots have not been very good at recognizing and responding to human faces until now.
Thanks for giving me a chance to introduce myself. My name is Now.
Say hello to Now the robot. He wants to be your pal. The story after this from David Harris of AJC.
The late Abba Iban was a world-class Israeli diplomat and advocate for peace. He famously said, "The Palestinians never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity." I thought of that all-too-true comment in recent days, as Palestinian leaders pursue a dead-end strategy. To state the obvious, there's only one way for them to make peace, at the negotiating table with Israel. But it's not so obvious to Palestinian leaders. They've chosen to skip the table and circumvent Israel. Instead, they want the UN and other international bodies to do the work for them. They believe that Israel's hand can be forced, while the Palestinians needn't offer any compromises for peace. Well, that strategy won't work. Israel isn't buying it, America isn't buying it, and all people of goodwill shouldn't buy it. Peace comes through face-to-face talks and compromise, not through end runs and intransigence. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at AJC Global. This is David Harris of AJC.
Paid for by AJC.
Robots can do all sorts of things, from build cars to dance. But until recently, they have not been very good at something most of us humans take for granted, and that is recognizing faces. That's where a robot named Now comes in.
I'm the first fully programmable humanoid robot. I'm autonomous, and I can connect to the Internet using my Wi-Fi connection.
Now is 23 inches tall and fully mobile. He can kick a soccer ball, talk, pick himself up if he falls, and he can recognize your face. The company that makes him has even designed him to pick up on your facial expressions. If you're happy, Now can be too. Sad? He can offer good cheer.
Doctors even think I could be of some help as a companion for the elderly. To read them papers, help them answer their phone, check on them, and report back to relatives or the care center if required.
In other words, Now is designed to be nearly human. Right now, he and his robo-brothers, there are about 1,000 of them out there, have about a 70% accuracy rate when it comes to detecting human emotion. But they and their programmers are learning and getting better every day. Professional actors are helping the Nows understand us. The robots are expected to go on sale in the U.S. sometime next year. The Osgood File. I'll see you on the television come Sunday morning on CBS. This is Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
More rewards, not more rules. That's what you can expect from our Visa Bonus Rewards Card. With the Visa Bonus Rewards Card, earn points that you can redeem for your choice of cash back, travel, and more. Plus, get $25 cash back with your first purchase. More rewards, not more rules. Apply today at any Bank of North Carolina branch or on our website. For details and full disclosure, go to bankofnc.com. Subject to credit approval. Member FDIC.
Ready to take your small business to the next level? You are not alone. We are here to help. At the UPS Store, we will turn your busy work into easy work by taking care of all of your packaging, shipping, and fulfillment needs so you can concentrate on what matters most, running your business. To learn more about how we can help you, visit theupsstore.com or stop by the UPS stores in Meadowmont, in Chapel Hill North, and on Fordham Boulevard.
The UPS Store, where we have fun taking exceptional care of our customers.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
Blue Ribbon Mentor Advocate is a comprehensive support program for students in the Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools. If you enjoy reading, going on walks, baking, or playing basketball with a child, then Blue Ribbon is the perfect opportunity for you. We're looking for volunteers to serve 2 hours a week for a minimum of 2 years. Contact Granville Johnson at 919-918-2170, extension 5. Blue Ribbon thanks WCHL for supporting our program.
6:30 WCHL, and we have 21 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. This Chapel Hill Carrboro forecast brought to you by Grimble Coolers this morning. Partly sunny, not as cool, with a high today in the upper 30s. Thank goodness we're going to get up above the freezing point. Of course, we have absolutely no precipitation out there, so we haven't had any problems with ice or anything like that. Thank goodness. It will be windy later on in the day as well. Wind gust up to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear and cold with a low down around 16. We're certainly not out of the woods yet. On Saturday, a sunny day with a high in the middle 30s. Saturday night, clear, cold with a low around 18. Then on Sunday, partly sunny with a high climbing up into the low 40s. So it will get a little bit better. We do have a 50-50 chance of rain moving in, but not until Sunday night. Grimble Jewelers is always there for you. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler. Go see Berkeley Grimble today at Grimble Jewelers on Elliott Road in the Village Plaza, right next door to Whole Foods.
If it's happening in our Chapel Hill Carrboro community, you will hear about it on 97.9 FM, WCHL, and you'll find it on our website, chapelboro.com.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Dave Barrett. A chase northeast of Paris with gunfire exchanged ended in a small town. Police have surrounded the two Charlie Hebdo suspects. Correspondent Vicki Barker with the latest on a standoff that's gone on for a couple of hours.
The hunt for the jihadists who gunned down 12 people in Paris Wednesday has converged around a small office building not far from Charles de Gaulle Airport. Hostage negotiators are on the scene. So are ambulances. And locals have been told to stay indoors, away from windows, Dave.
Sky's Robert Nisbet, near where the men are surrounded, says police are negotiating.
In a conversation with the suspects, they have confirmed that one hostage is being held and that the men said that they were ready to die as martyrs.
Radical terrorism expert Dr. Brooke Rogers not surprised by that statement.
The terrorists have already achieved a number of their objectives in terms of obtaining publicity, in terms of having a chance to communicate and talk about their cause.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Dave Barrett.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
21 degrees, 632 at WCHL. Good morning, I'm Rod Stutz. Our top news story today, Dan Jones, fire chief in Chapel Hill for 25 years, has announced that he is going to be stepping down this spring. His retirement will become effective May 1st. Although he has offered to stay on and help as long as it takes to find a replacement and to help in the transition. Chief Dan Jones, retirement. We have that complete story from Aaron Keck on our website at chapelboro.com, and we'll have it again for you next hour right here on WCHL. The Keystone XL pipeline has been part of a heated debate among lawmakers over the last few years, and the new Republican-led Congress is looking to move on passing approval of the pipeline among their first orders of business.
Jeff Danner writes the Common Science blog at chapelboro.com and says that the XL in the name of the pipeline is important.
There already is a Keystone pipeline, and there has been for years and years, and it extends from Alberta into Nebraska, where it then branches off, and then one branch goes to Illinois and the other to Oklahoma. The Keystone XL pipeline is essentially two additions to that pre-existing network. There's a straight line run from Alberta down to that junction in Nebraska, and then there's an extension down to Texas.
Danner says that an oil sand mixture would be coming down the pipeline from Canada with the ultimate goal of rendering out gasoline or diesel as a final product. He says that there are several environmental issues that have been causing concern during the planning process for the pipeline.
One is just on the global warming front, and I think this can be summarized fairly quickly. We keep resetting a new normal. We used to wish we could keep carbon dioxide in the atmosphere below 400 due to the warming effects. Now, at least the environmental community is trying to settle around, and the international diplomatic community around, a limit of 450.
Danner adds that remaining below the new limits would mean leaving at least half of the known deposits of fossil fuels around the world in the ground. Exploiting the oil sands in Alberta would be a huge step to exceeding the new goals, according to Danner. The other major environmental concern has been the actual route of the XL pipeline.
The new pipeline would go over the Ogallala Aquifer, which, if you're not familiar with it, this massive aquifer under the middle of the United States. Mm-hmm. And it is responsible for the fact that we're able to do things like grow wheat and raise cattle in places like Arizona and Kansas and Oklahoma.
Well, Danner says that concern is coming from environmentalists over contaminating that aquifer. But he adds that the aquifer has not been damaged by some of the more than 2.5 million miles of pipeline that currently run across the United States.
Many hundreds of thousands of miles of that pipeline network are already on top of the Ogallala Aquifer. And that aquifer is deep underground, and the land there is not porous, unlike Alberta. It's so non-porous that it's hard for the water to get there.
Danner says that these pipelines eliminate the need for trucks or trains to haul the raw material needed to produce fuel, which would come at an even higher financial and environmental cost. According to Danner, another issue concerning the pipeline is the actual value. He says that once all things are considered, there is concern that the expected output of the pipeline might not be worth the infrastructure necessary for it to operate.
It's exceedingly more difficult and more energy intensive than if you had petroleum, because you've got to pull it out of the ground, heat it up to 900 degrees Fahrenheit to get the sand and the oil to come out of it. You've got to remove the nitrogen, you remove the metals, and then even when you're done, you still have this semi-solid mass that you have to process further.
Danner adds that to solve the long-term environmental concerns associated with this project, the solution would be for the pipeline to not go forward, which is why the fight over the pipeline has been so intense.
If you could stall it, it does buy you some more time if you have hopes that we'll convince the world to leave the oil sands in the ground. So yeah. From that standpoint, it makes sense to try to delay it if you're trying to slow the rate of extraction.
The newly minted and GOP-led Congress will likely pass the bill approving the Keystone XL pipeline, but the White House announced on Tuesday that President Obama would veto the bill in its current form if it did pass through the legislature. President Obama and congressional leaders are slated to meet next Tuesday for the first time since the 114th Congress convened and discuss their priorities for the upcoming term, one of which is sure to be the Keystone XL pipeline. Blake Hodge, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
We've reached the end of 2014, and as this new year begins, we're taking the time to look back on the year that was. This week, as part of our annual WCHL Year in Review, we're continuing our countdown of the top 10 news stories and the top 10 newsmakers of 2014 in our local community. Today, we finally reached number one. No surprise, our number one news story of the year is the Weinstein Report, an event that was eagerly anticipated all year long. When it finally came, it brought revelation after revelation that stunned the campus community that thought it had heard it all.
There are a lot of people on campus who knew that these were easy classes, but it was a smaller, much smaller group who knew that there really wasn't even a professor involved and that Deborah Crowder was doing the grading. We found that five of the ASPSA counselors knew exactly what was going on with these classes. And Debbie Crowder took steps to try to mask what she was doing, but five of these counselors knew exactly what was going on.
I'd like to say this from the start. I am deeply disappointed in the duration and the extent of the wrongdoing.
And they took affirmative steps to take advantage of them. They steered a number of their student athletes to these classes because, specifically because they were easy, specifically because they were, in their terms, GPA boosters.
As well as the lack of oversight, specifically vital missing checks and balances.
Some of the counselors at ASPSA actually would suggest to Deborah Crowder what grades she should give to the student athletes who were in her class. And in terms of women's basketball, there was a counselor there, Jan Boxall, who knew completely what these classes were all about and steered students to them, basketball players to them.
The Crowder-Nangoro scheme marks a horrible chapter in the history of this great university. And we would all agree that it continued unchecked for way too long.
Those are the voices of Kenneth Weinstein and Chancellor Carol Folt. 131 pages, 18 years of fraudulent classes, 3,100 students, 1,500 student athletes, 9 UNC employees facing discipline or dismissal, countless more questions from the NCAA, and incalculable damage to UNC's reputation that we must now begin to recover. Kenneth Weinstein's report on academic irregularities on campus is easily our number one news story of the year. Well, our number one newsmaker Mother of the Year tops our list for the firestorm she created in January when she went on national television to blow the whistle on UNC.
I had athletes tell me their hopes and dreams, but I couldn't do anything about that. They were African American studies majors and they took bogus paper classes. That's criminal.
The scandal in Carolina was already more than 3 years old when an academic advisor named Mary Willingham appeared on CNN with a set of shocking statistics. She said she checked out the reading levels of 183 Carolina football and basketball players over an eight-year period and found that most of them read at an eighth-grade level or below.
We had a countless number of athletes that I worked with during my tenure, nearly 7 years, that left without a real degree. You know, they took all these bogus paper classes, and they left the university still woefully underprepared for probably even a high school. That's wrong, and we owe them.
What followed was a highly contentious and occasionally nasty debate as UNC officials denounced Willingham, and UNC's critics hailed her as a hero. Everybody had an opinion about Mary Willingham.
I think these numbers are wildly incompatible with that claim. I don't know how that claim was arrived at, but I think the data that we have about students upon admission don't support the claim.
Their response should have been all along to try to arrange a conversation with her. Instead, they orchestrate a denunciation campaign, and it's continuing.
The question, did she violate FERPA? I mean, it appears that she accessed student records without consent. That's one of the most troubling aspects of what the research application reveals.
Her character was assassinated. Her academic integrity was impugned. I think UNC and the community owes a big thank you to Mary.
By the middle of the year, Mary Willingham had been accused of violating federal law and plagiarizing her research, and she'd lost her job at UNC. But she'd also gotten people talking about a new facet of Carolina's academic scandal. And in the process, she became the focal point of the increasingly intense debate for the better part of the year.
I'm hearing from people all over the country. They don't want to speak publicly, and I'm certainly not going to bring anybody under the bus with me because it's, you know, not too pretty under here. But I think you're going to hear from more people. We've got a movement going, folks.
Mary Willingham, our number one newsmaker of the year. For our complete countdown of the top news stories and newsmakers of 2014, visit our website, chapelborough.com. 641 WCHL, a little chilly this morning, but not as chilly as it has been. And, wow, just listening to that whole story just brings it all right back.
That sure does.
Just, wow, not good memories, but very important for us all to think about all that kind of stuff and make sure it never happens again. So,
mm-hmm.
I'm Ron Stutz along with Nikki Morse. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. It's Friday.
Good, yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Absolutely.
Apparently nothing.
Say it again.
Nothing. What is it good for? Good God, y'all. Well, it's time for a look at your traffic coming up in just a couple minutes here, but I just wanted to say good morning. And were you bringing coffee in here a few minutes ago?
I actually don't drink that. I haven't filled it yet. I made coffee.
Yeah, you made coffee.
I made coffee. I just didn't bring it into the studio yet.
It smells so good.
Well, that's my coffee. You can't have it.
I know. Do you have a special Nikki Morse blend or something?
Yes, it's made by somebody else.
Oh.
And I love that.
Yeah, that sounds good to me, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're
and
welcome.
We'll take a look at traffic in a few minutes. We also have today's commentary on the way from Lou Margolis. It also has to do with UNC academics and athletics. That is on the way. At 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, our programming sometimes raises eyebrows. While people can be polarized in their political beliefs, there are a few things that always bring people together. One of those things is good food. When Stephanie Miller came to town, she visited a local restaurant that truly is a political uniter.
If you're listening in Los Angeles or Seattle or somewhere, you have a long drive, so I would get going. 411 West. Is a restaurant in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and I suggest you take your family there. The food was just orgasmically good, wasn't it?
It was all unbelievable.
Yeah, we tried the steak, the salmon, the chicken. I'm just telling
I'll
you.
I'll have what she's having.
No matter where you are in the United States, I suggest you start driving now. It was
spectacular.
Yeah, it was terrific. So we'd like to thank everybody that came out to see us in North Carolina. We had a heck of a time.
We are lucky to live and work in a place that offers a table for friends and neighbors from all walks of life and with differing opinions to get together and celebrate our differences. The Chapel Hill Restaurant Group reminds you to support your community and dine locally.
Hello, this is Tony Hall, real estate broker at Tony Hall & Associates.
With the busy spring market just around the corner, it's time to think about getting your house ready for sale and selecting a realtor to sell it. Let my 29 years of home selling experience benefit you. Call today at 919-933-8500 or see us online at TonyHallAssociates.com. At Tony Hall & Associates, we don't just list houses, we sell them.
WCHL, good morning. It is 6:44.
And now, WCHL presents The Commentators.
This is Lou Margolis. The failure of UNC to forfeit the games played by those who maintained eligibility through taking fake classes is yet another piece of evidence in the overpowering case that big-time revenue sports harm universities. The motto of UNC, Lux Libertas, Light and Liberty, boldly proclaims the core value of honesty and integrity. Without honesty, the entire knowledge-producing architecture of universities collapses in a heap. Without honesty, the unwavering commitment to excellence expressed in UNC's mission statement is meaningless. Let's be clear about the extent of the problem reported by Weinstein. Football players were credited with nearly 1,000 fake classes, and men's basketball players over 200 fake classes. The report estimated that the fraudulent grades awarded for these fake classes had a significant impact on eligibility. For example, the fake classes enabled football players and men's basketball players to have the necessary 2.0 grade point average in 25% and 14% of the reviewed semesters, respectively. The rules of college sports require athletes to be legitimate students. Unlike so many other aspects of life, in sports, the rules are explicit and the outcomes are clear. There are victories and there are defeats. UNC violated explicit rules on eligibility. Indeed, the fundamental characteristic of college sports, that they are played by students. If these games were played by ineligible athletes, then any wins must become losses, no different than if the teams had not shown up to play. Two aspects of the failure to act are symptoms of the harm caused by big-time sports. First, let's remember that we are talking about games, hard-fought and involving players who practice long and hard to develop their skills, to be sure, but games nonetheless. Nobody will die. Nobody will sustain lifelong injury or harm. The world will not end if UNC takes the courageous path of honesty by forfeiting these games. UNC is harmed, however, by failing to act with integrity. Second, failure to act with honesty is not tolerated in UNC's core mission of research, scholarship, and creativity. The contests fought on the playing fields of scholarship and research are single-minded in their commitment to finding the truth. Scholarship that is identified as fraudulent is openly refuted and often withdrawn, researchers publicly shamed. If big-time sports are situated in universities, why should sports be handled differently, judged by different values? UNC, recognize those victories for what they were, dishonestly earned. Highlight the university's integrity by forfeiting those games, and then take pleasure in the real triumph of holding true to the core value of honesty. This is Lou Margolis.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
6:47 WCHL in the morning. I'm Rod Stutz, and time now to check in with Nikki Morse and find out what's going on in our morning traffic situation.
Well, the beautiful thing is it's Friday, and that means that traffic is kind of slowly getting busy out there, but nothing major. So you've got no accidents to get in your way so far this morning, at least that are reported. 15501 still in good shape between Franklin Street and Garrett, and 40 eastbound remaining clear from 86 to the Durham Freeway. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
That's the beautiful thing, huh?
The beautiful thing. One of the most beautiful things about a Friday.
Well, thank you.
Hey.
Thank you very much for pointing that out. I just feel better already.
I'm glad. I'm really glad. That's why I'm here.
All right. Time now for your Chapel Hill Carborough weather, and it's brought to you by the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce. 21 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. We look for a high today about 38. High in the upper 30s, partly sunny skies, wind gust up to 25 miles per hour later on today. Now tonight, cold again, mostly clear with a low down around 16. Tomorrow, sunny with a high in the middle 30s. Saturday night, clear, cold with low 18. Sunday, partly sunny with a high in the low 40s. And guess what? Sunday night, we'll have a 50-50 chance of rain, but thankfully not as cool with the lows in the low 30s. So we should be okay. It's just going to be cold for the weekend. The Chamber of Commerce invites you to celebrate the successes of our business community at the Chamber's annual meeting presented by the Europa Center, or presented at the Europa Center, Thursday, January 29th at 11 a.m. at the Sheraton Chapel Hill Hotel. Tickets are on sale now, $55 for members, $70 for non-members. Register online at carolinachamber.org/annual meeting. These things are, well, can be a lot of fun. 6:49 at WCHL. And time now for celebrity birthdays, if you will. And here we go. Got some birthdays to talk about this morning. Author Judith Krantz is 87 years old today. Sports announcer Dick Enberg is 80. Singer Joan Baez is 74. Jimmy Page, one of the greatest guitarists ever to strap on an axe, is 71 years old today. Jimmy Page, Led Zeppelin. Buster Poindexter is 65 years old today. Singer Crystal Gayle is hot. Singer Crystal Gayle is 64. Doesn't it make my brown eyes blue to think about that? Actor J.K. Simmons, who was in Juno, the Spider-Man movies, and he's in those commercials for a certain insurance company, but I can't remember. Farmers, that's what it is. J.K. Simmons is 60 years old today. He looks like he's 70. Let's see here. Actress Jolie Richardson is 50 years old today. Carl Bell of Fuel is 48 years old today. Steve Harwell of Smash Mouth, he's the lead singer of that group, 48 years old today. Singer Dave Matthews of the Dave Matthews Band, 48 years old today. Actress Joey Lauren Adams, who's been in a lot of movies, 47 years old today. And actress Angela Bettis is 42. One of the Backstreet Boys, A.J. McLean, if you care about that, 37 years old today. And happy birthday to George Richardson, who's celebrating a birthday today in Durham. Happy birthday, buddy. Hope it's a really good one for you, and hope you have a good time. 6:51, WCHL, good morning. Ladies and gentlemen, here we are. Time for more trivia.
It's a Friday.
Yeah, it's one of the great joys of my life, getting an opportunity to spend a few meaningless minutes with Freddie Kiger.
There's many who stand in line sharing that same belief.
I always enjoy this, though.
Oh, we do have fun.
Yeah, it really is fun.
I mean, how many times do you get... Well, I mean, it's we're not scripted.
No.
I mean, only question I have, and part of the answer is scripted. The rest of it is just...
Yeah, and I don't even have an idea what his question and answer is going to be.
So. Folks, it's live radio, and it's like being on a high wire without a net.
That's exactly right. And, you know, Freddie, I think that probably goes a long way toward explaining to everybody about all this nonsense that we talk about, because that's just what comes out of our heads.
It does.
Well,
it does.
I'm just dying to know what your question is today.
Sports by any other name.
Okay.
Right. Sports by any other name.
I'm ready for it, baby.
All right, here we go, folks. Be prepared. 919-929-WCHL, which is?
9245.
You call in with the correct answer, you're going to get a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers.
Where you are good to go.
Here we go. If basketball is nicknamed hoops, or round ball,
right,
and baseball is hardball,
yeah,
then what sport is known as the sweet science?
Oh, okay. Got that.
If basketball is nicknamed hoops or
round
ball,
Cherish, you're not eligible.
That's correct. And baseball is hardball, then what sport is known as the sweet science?
All right. Well,
give us a call.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to be a winner? This is your time. Give us your best shot.
This is Gerald Remoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Becky Ritter is today's WCHL hometown hero. Walt Mack is here, and Walt does quite a lot of work at Robert and Pearl Seymour Center in Chapel Hill. And why is Becky Ritter so deserving of recognition?
Becky is a volunteer that does so much for the center. She's always in virtually every event and every activity. She plans, she helps, and she goes out of her way to do things for the center. She works at the desk, she works in the wellness center, helping helping those persons who need assistance and getting around, many handicapped people. And she does, again, so many things that for the center, and she's been there a long time. She's probably accumulated a good number of volunteer hours that she's probably right up there with the top volunteers. I think she really deserves recognition for the things that she does for the Seymour Center.
Well, I don't think most people realize how many people the Senior Center serves and how many people are involved. It's a veritable hub of activity, and I understand that Becky is just at the center of that whirlwind of activity.
Definitely, she certainly is, and it just surprises me every time we hold a special event, we see Becky there, and she will get so involved. She'll wear costumes if we have a special event that involves wearing a costume, or she'll dance. She dances a lot. She gets involved in those contests, and I don't know of anything that she doesn't feel is a challenge, and she does a great job, and we all appreciate everything she does for the Seymour Center.
Well, Walt, you, of course, are a former WCHL hometown hero, and thank you for what you do for the Senior Center, but also congratulations, Becky Ritter, today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
655 WCHL, good morning. Glad to have you along today.
Oh, well, Freddie Conger asking a trivia question about boxing.
Boxing is exactly correct. The sweet science, it came from sports journalist.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Unplug him.
In this corner, Freddie Conger.
Standing in at the paperweight division. Weighing in, dripping wet at 137 pounds.
Are you serious?
No. I think I'm 162.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what does that put me? Middleweight?
You beeped up.
Middleweight? Well, hey, I weighed 125 coming out of high school.
Wow.
That is paperweight.
Yeah. No kidding.
Well, I was little, tiny. I was a little guy.
Well, explain this to me. Yeah. How is it the rock, paper, scissors thing?
Yeah.
How does that, that never has made any sense to me. That's totally off the topic.
What is that? Yeah, how does that, where did that come from?
I don't know, man, but I always had a problem with that. People do rock, paper, scissors. Well, scissors beat paper, right?
But if paper paper can cover a rock and, that's right, paper can cover rock.
Uh-huh. But why don't you just slam it all with a big rock?
Would you ever play with adding, like, right? One finger like this and it was dynamite?
Really?
Yeah. Which scissor could cut the dynamite and a paper could cover dynamite.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then why don't you get paper and cover it all?
I don't know.
And then you win. It's just stupid to me.
No,
all right. Well,
folks, we'll get back to that one in another day and time.
Boxing is the answer to the question.
We got boxing, yes. According to A.J. Liebling, who wrote a book about boxing with the same name, he was a sports journalist who wrote beautifully. Mm-hmm. And I know that's a strange word, but he wrote beautifully and poetically about
the sweet
boxing,
science.
The sweet science of boxing. And
yeah.
The New York Times wrote of Liebling, "Nobody wrote about boxing with more grace and enthusiasm than Joe Liebling." And yep. He's the one who called it the sweet science.
All right.
And I'm sure Dr. Kriteris, if he's seeing a patient right now, may have just skipped a little beat right there.
He might have, you know.
He might have tried to call us through his iPod or iPad or his wireless link through his stethoscope.
That was a knockout, wasn't it, Doc?
What's up, Doc?
What's up, Doc?
See everybody on Monday.
All right, man. Have a good weekend. Everybody, pardon us for being incredibly silly every morning, but the sweet science is a nickname for boxing. And Lisa Jefferson called in with the answer to that question. Had a couple of people call in and say it's golf. Well, no, it's not. It's boxing, which I always thought was kind of funny. It was known as the sweet science. Howard Cosell used to call it that sometimes, but that guy that Freddie talked about was the one who originated the idea. Coming up on 658 WCHL, good morning.
Meet the brokers at Weaver Street Realty. Bill Mullen and Don Bassnight are both native Chapel Hillians who have seen our town through a half century of change. Louise Barnum moves easily from muddy boots to city shoes in her pursuit to meet her clients' needs. Jay Parker is the broker in charge, having developed a loyal client base over 30 years. Gary Phillips and Clayton Nell are the oldest and youngest members of the team, combining experience and intelligence for a fresh perspective. And Crystal Fisher is the savvy specialist for first home buyers. Check them all out at WeaverStreetRealty.com.
And one and two.
Meet Samaya.
She may seem like an ordinary four-year-old budding ballerina, but she's a champion at heart. Samaya was diagnosed with congestive heart failure at 4 months old. That's when UNC Children stepped in with a life-saving transplant she needed. As a leading children's hospital in the Southeast, we provide care for future champions of all ages, like Samaya, so she can get back to dancing and we can say we knew her when. Visit unccchildrens.org.
Where can kids like me go to learn new skills, make friends, and have fun?
Chapel Hill Gymnastics, the community's largest gymnastics facility, offering tumbling, trampoline, summer camps, birthday parties, gymnastics classes for boys and girls ages 1 year and up, and more. The structured classes and energetic atmosphere motivate gymnasts to achieve personal goals in the sport of gymnastics. Call 919-942-3655 or visit chapelhillgymnastics.com.
Chapel Hill Gymnastics, the fun place to learn and grow.
This is Chapel Hill Carborough's News, Talk, and Tar Heel Station, WCHL. Now, here's Ron Stutz.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you this morning by Cruisers. And it's not as cold today, 21 degrees right now. Partly sunny, not as cool in the afternoon, or high today about 38. It is going to be windy. Tonight, clear, cold with a low down to 16, so we're certainly not out of the woods yet, but it's going to be cold all weekend. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace is the place to go to fuel up every morning with that great Cruisers coffee, wonderful soft drinks as well. Make it your way every day at Cruisers. Good to go. It's 7 o'clock.
Uniquely qualified to cover Carolina, 97.9 FM.